What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Peace Family is 19 Keys. Thanks for listening to the High Level Audio Experience. Make sure to give 5 stars and subscribe. Also, support the brand and get tickets to our upcoming tour by visiting 19keys.com/links. That's numbers 19keys.com/links. Enjoy this clip and check out the full episode. Peace.
All right. Peace to the gods, man. I had to go live today because we got a lot to talk about, man. Things are shaping up exactly the way that I thought they was going to shape up. And we about to have a good discussion here on Twitter and on YouTube. And we're going to talk about this conflict because I've been noticing how everything has been shaping up to where these great American conflicts are happening. You got the Indians versus the whites. Oh, man. You got the FBA versus Fat Joe. Who would have seen that one coming? Which is interesting and funny, the way this one is shaping up for sure. But I want to get into the psychology around that and why things had to become the way that they are. You know, I don't think that things could have become anything else. You feel me? Hold on, let me see. Let me change this. And this title... I'm going to explain why whites are the new blacks in just a second. It's not even really clickbait. This is real. Y'all got to bear it with me. I say did it. What's up with the FBAs though, man? And then my Indians brothers, y'all done had it. Y'all been skating under the radar, killing the game for a long time. So let's skip that. And we go save. All right, I'm ready to get to it. So we about to get into what the true conflict is and why we seeing everything that's happening right now. You know, we about to get into some real good conversations and we about to knock some things down that I want y'all to tap in with. I've been seeing a lot of things that, if I'm being honest, is quite disturbing. You feel me? Just the conversation that we having right now. And everything is playing out the way that I thought it was going to play out. As far as the way I'm seeing 2025, nothing is surprising yet whatsoever. To be honest, everything is going according to the cosmic schedule, right? Whether most people realize it or not. You know what I'm saying? We are on a cosmic schedule, man. The world is heating up, and this is going to create more conflicts. I made this prediction, and things are happening exactly the way that I thought they was going to happen, right? One of the things that I see taking out right now, of course, some of the conflicts that we're going to outline, of course, you have the FBA movement, right? The FBA movement is essentially foundational Black Americans or the African descendants of slaves. Now, this is not particularly a new movement. This has always been a group in America that has felt disenfranchised, discriminated against, right? And has always grouped together to figure out how do we fight this discrimination and how do we win in America, right? So that's not something new. What's new, though, is when you see people like Fat Joe get up there and he called the FBA some brogans. You understand me? But what he doesn't realize is the time that we're living in. And when you realize the time that you're living in is that there's a distinct group culture that's happening right now, right? Nationalism is back in play, right? And if you understand that nationalism is back in play, then when you attack a group, you better be prepared for the backlash. Now, the thing about a lot of people don't agree with FBAs because there is some radicalism in the FBA. It's like any political party, if you will, you have far right, you have far left, right? There are some people who go out their way to disrespect the Africans and different diaspora, right? Which to me, I don't agree with whatsoever. But the FBA is absolutely necessary. Don't get me wrong. They are absolutely necessary because everybody gets the benefit of Black culture, but Black people. Right. And so white people are about to experience some of this in a little bit. And they've been experiencing a little bit of this and what it feels like to be Black in America. And they don't like it. I'm going to just say it like that. White people not liking this. And this is why we're starting to see some conflict that's going on. There was a lot of faux unity on the Republican side during the political parties and during the race, the presidential race. And I had already predicted that that is going to decease, going into the real season. All of this fake kumbaya party that it felt like, oh, the Puerto people that's on the side of the Puerto Ricans and the Blacks and the whites and the Indians. And hey, we all voted for Trump. We all together. No, everybody was voting for their own interest. That's it. It was not a kumbaya party. Right. Then you got Vivek. Then we got Elon and we got to get into. Right. Because people are saying that he is the real president and Donald Trump is the vice president. Donald Trump ain't even got into office yet. Yeah, that's right. So but this is why the party now has to figure out who can hold Donald Trump accountable for the things that he has promised them. Right. So this is where we're going to see the real presidency. The honeymoon phase is now over. Right. The honeymoon phase of, oh, we got a new presidency. Everything is about to change. The world is just about to get better. Now we're seeing conflict that is arising where I guess we can start with, let's start with the FBA and then we'll go into it. And as I talk, you're going to understand why it's necessary to have somebody like a group like the FBA. Right. Because right now, there is no consolidated group that speaks for the national and global interests of Black Americas, Black Americans only. And that's very important to say, right? And I mean as a consensus that we believe represent Black Americans, and particularly those who are of the poor class as well, and of the so-called middle class, right? Because there is the Boulé versus the FBA. Right. Because you have to understand that once somebody considers themselves to be of a higher class, even if they may be of the same ethnic background as you, they do not have the same interests or values that you have anymore. Now, this has always been a case in America going back 100+ years. Right. For those who don't know, FBA stands for Foundational Black American. I know that some people say the Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is no longer, number one, a force in America. Black Lives Matter had its moment, but Black Lives Matter was of the far left. Now, there are some people that within that, but the leaders of that, that are the outspoken, the ones who control the funds, who are controlling a lot of the movement, those are what you consider to be far left. They was a super progressive group started by these Black women, right, that were super pro LGBT rights, intersectionality, right? So therefore, a lot of Black men did not feel connected to that, and it did not have a solid promise within that whatsoever and not a real call to action. Black Lives Matter is just a statement within itself. It's a snake eating itself because it doesn't actually mean anything, right? It's like saying the sun is hot. Okay, we know. Or somebody saying the sun matters. Yes, that's very evident and it's very obvious, but it's not like saying Black power, which is to me a call to action, which is a representing where we should be going, right? We should be consolidating power and force. Now, all groups around the world are about to start consolidating power, right? And you're going to see distractions that continue to appear as there's a consolidation of power, right? Now, I've been seeing so much hate for Beyonce, who I didn't watch the halftime show. Not in the world like that. I didn't see the halftime show. All I do is woke up with a lot of Beyonce hate. I see grown men, right, saying F Beyonce. And I'm like, dang, what Beyonce do? Did she run over a kid or something? Like, what did she do? You know, I'm not sure of any crimes that Beyonce has actually committed or been convicted of, because surely that has to be the reason why you would want to go after Beyonce and or her husband, right? In America, in this so-called justice system, right, you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. But in this country, who cares about innocence or guilt when we elect presidents, right, whether they're innocent or guilty? So to me, that let me know that the far right or the right don't care about that whatsoever, nor do they care about real victims of crime, because then we got somebody like Joe, right? We do believe that some people, and by Joe, I mean Joe Biden, we do believe that some people are above the law. We've seen where he got his son off completely, right? We do believe that we can't mobilize and get money for causes that we care about, but only when it's for the presidency. And we also can agree upon, we do not care if somebody has locked up a large group of black men disproportionately, right? We will still believe in their cause if we believe it's for so-called greater good. That is the presidency. So that's how we view power, right? So, but here's why I say, and why every other group already has their own FBA, number one, right? You have China for Chinatown, right? You have the Jewish community for the Jewish community, right? They have AIPAC, where they have lobbyist groups. They have ways of protecting themselves and people who come under that construct, right? You have white Americans for white Americans, and they have more groups than I can even count and or think about, right? Primarily the Republican Party, right? And the Democratic Party, because these are both groups that comprise majority of white folks, right? So when you talk about being white in America, that has historically had a privilege attached to it. And by privilege, I mean, you all haven't had to think about the fact that you're white as you make moves. Now, this has started to change a little bit. And this is why we're starting to see the erosion of white privilege, because the idea of white privilege is that you don't have to walk into a place and think about your race first, right? So when white men had to think about the fact, wait a minute, if I say this as a white heterosexual male, that started to erode at white privilege, because you start to develop what they call double consciousness. Now, W.E.B. Du Bois is the one who came up with double consciousness. The fact that a black man has to think about, or a black person has to think about, hey, I have melanated copper skin. So when I walk outside, you know what I mean? I have to understand that the world is not just looking at me as a man or a woman. They're looking at me because of my skin color, right? Now, this takes a lot of energy to walk around thinking about, right, your identity of something that you cannot change and how the world discriminates against you because of that particular identity. So this is a fact, right? This is a fact of America that has always been. Now, white people ain't had to deal with this. You feel me? They can be a white man and the idea of white privilege that they are the majority rule, right? And in the majority rule, everybody else has to assimilate. You have acculturation where you have to give up some of your unique identity and identifier so that you can get along with the group effort. You end up speaking like them, thinking like them, right? And moving as they move. This has happened to everybody who's operated within a workplace understands this, right? In a workplace, you realize that, right, there are these groups and the black people sit next to each other because you're not getting tagged on the emails, right? You're not a part of these groups. You don't get selected for leadership positions. So the leadership doesn't look like you. So you have to walk around thinking about whether you're a woman or you're black, right? And then it started to change. These identifiers of privilege started to change. Being a masculine man was a privilege at a particular point in time. And then people started to fight against the patriarch. They first started fighting against white patriarch, then it started fighting against all patriarch. And then black men had to start looking at themselves and saying, wait a minute, I'm heterosexual, so what does that mean? Right? And I'm masculine, right? And then that's when you get over left progressiveness saying, wait a minute, you are a cis heterosexual masculine man that is getting privilege in the in patriarchy, and you don't recognize your patriarchy. And we were like, wait, slow down. Whoa. I always had double consciousness, but now I got quadruple consciousness. This is quantum consciousness. You had qubits of information to this identifiers right now. So now I got to think of myself in multi layers. Now, of course, at the 9/11, I had to think about myself, right, as a Muslim as well. So we had all of these layers in which to view yourself upon. So without representation or protection within that group, right, or somebody representing that so you can see yourself, you feel isolated. And what ends up happening is you start to give up parts of yourself, right, so that you can assimilate into the world to feel safe. Because if you stand out too much, right, then you feel like you could be a target. So historically, so-called minorities and people who weren't of the majority have had to deal with this, right, in American history. And so for the first time, right, in this decade, you have white men having to think about whether they're a white man or a white woman thinking about whether she's being seen as a Karen, right? They used to be able to complain, call the cops on you, and then they had a way. But then the internet came and they turned that into a meme. You goddamn Karens out here calling the cops on everything. A brother is breathing and she mad that he's admitting O2. You know what I'm saying? Like, this has became a huge issue. They was calling the cops on every single thing that we was doing, from sitting down to standing up to using our senses. If the brother was smelling air that she was in, they was calling the cops. So therefore, we was like, wait a minute, y'all Karens. Now white women had to think about themselves, right? Am I being a Karen? Do I operate in privilege? So now they start making all these videos of allyship saying, man, wait a minute, I got privilege too. Oh my God, I can't believe I got privilege. All of these so-called awakenings. And as the world was going through these shifts of awakenings, white people got mad at that. They said, that is woke. Because they had an awakening like a black person had an awakening, because they realized they were living in a new world, right? They said, God damn, this world ain't cool. I don't like this. I got to be woke now. I got to think about whether I'm harming somebody else. And you have to remember, right? The same way we have PTSD, post so-called traumatic slave disorder syndrome, right? Which is real because of genetics and epigenetics. We know that trauma can be inherited, passed down for a very long time, especially deep trauma, right? So it's not easy for generations to get over that, especially when there's new deep-seated trauma happening every single decade, such as that we just heard about that goddamn police was making their own crack. You know what I'm saying? Like, we be hearing about new stuff we ain't even knew exist. So now we're living in this new era, right? Here we are in America. Now, Obama was one of the scariest things that ever happened to white America. Because what they realized and what they seen for the first time, right, in their time, was this proud black man. These black kids with all this confidence, this beautiful black family. And to them, that represented the erosion of white America. Everything that they thought it stood for, everything that their grandparents fought for, everything that they tried to keep you down from, even though they still have all the things in the world. The boomer generation is the richest, wealthiest generation. Coming up fighting against them is the millennials. We'll go over all these conflicts. But then you had the Me Too movement and white men like, wait a minute, now y'all going too far. We can't just grab them by the, you know what I'm saying? So when Donald Trump came in, he showed them that representation like, wait a minute, this is still America, the America, right? When we had people like Colin Kaepernick, that made people pissed off. They said, goddamn, how dare you, knee boy. They said, you over here acting like you free. Now, this is something that they didn't like, because every time something happened, it made them view themselves. And the most dangerous thing in America is white guilt. White people don't want to feel guilt. This is something new. This is an introspective look about their actions and their great grandparents' actions and what they've been doing in this country. And all of these thoughts and these feelings start to emerge. It's like I was watching this movie with these aliens, and he started to feel feelings after listening to music for the first time. And he's like, what is this? his body start twitching. That's what happened to a lot of white Americans. They said, wait the hell, I don't like this. You got to understand American Psycho, right, represented that 1% class of the dark psychopathy of America, elite especially. And the Me Too movement affected the elite. You're talking about elite white men having to look at themselves in the mirror and say, damn, am I a monster? Am I a monster? That is something they never wanted to face, never wanted to look at, never wanted to even think about. That eroded that white privilege. Then they had to start, not only for them to win, right? First of all, they women started to get a little too comfortable. White women started to talk about, say, hey, everybody getting rights. We want our rights too. The white man said, whoa, wait a minute now. This going way too far. This done got out of goddamn hand. This done got out of goddamn hand. Y'all want rights? The 19th Amendment gave women the right to vote. The number 19 is very important when it comes to women. I break that down another time. So they said, will you let Hillary in? Man, they got so pissed off. They said, man, y'all going way too far, right? That's when Trump come in. You know what I'm saying? Then they like, Trump, you wow, and you doing a little too much. You eroding the whole system. If we allow you to get four back years, you know what I'm saying? First of all, we ain't going to know how to control anything. Because he was tearing at the threads of America, because you also have to understand that America goes off a psyche of the Greeks, the Greek gods. That's where they get a lot of their folklore and the ideas about self and the archetypes. And within that, there's a story about how the Greek gods fight the younger gods, the older gods fight the younger gods. It's called the Cronus Complex, right? It's the conflict of Father Time. And Father Time is shown as the old white man with the hair and the Sith, right? And then under him comes this Titan generation. And then this Titan generation is the one that defies the rule of the old power. And that generation is what we consider to be the terrorist in America. So we go anything like Timothy McVeigh. Timothy McVeigh did not like American old power, right? Then we go to, there's a multitude of different things that I can go list down, but then we go into the school shootings, which was an effect of the Timothy McVeigh. He was inspired by that very thing. And then he was inspired because they had the issue at, what was it, 420 or 419 this happened. I'm trying to remember the name of it. But anyway, the FBI came and they unalived all of those people and burnt them alive. And Timothy McVeigh was watching that. He thought that was an overreach of the government and the powers and the structure. And he said, it's not American. And then that's when you get a lot of these militia groups, because he was a part of a militia group. And he sparked off, right, that idea of white terrorism. And even if you look at today, right, you have the new kid right now that everybody's celebrating now, that off the United Healthcare person. Right? But and eerily, there's similarities to him and other ones before him. But this had become an issue for them, because almost every year we was getting Waco, Texas. Thank you. That happened in Waco, Texas. Every year we was getting a new white terrorist. And it was like, wait a minute, this is going out of hand. Eventually, this is just going to be a civil war between us versus our children, just like in the story of the Greek gods. Now, if you go study Roman and Greek, you understand that there was consistent pedigree back in those times. You just seen the movie with Denzel Washington, which was essentially Make Rome Great Again. That's what that was about. That was a whole propaganda. How do we make Rome great again? Right? And the Denzel character essentially represented an Elon Musk type character, somebody who's not actually in government, an immigrant that comes in, right? But somehow they get all of the powers to get the ear of the president and then cut their throats and run things for real. So now we seeing all of the legacy media saying that Elon Musk is the one who runs America. This foreigner, who Denzel Washington character was a businessman. That's what he was. But he had the ear of the emperors, the twins. He had the ear of the twins. Those twins, they had orange hair. For me, those twins are just Democrats and Republicans. He was a Democrat before. Now he's a Republican when it becomes convenient, because America is being ripped apart to where you can see what it looks like truly as an oligarchy ran by special interest groups and corporations. And then online, instead of Ms. Owens attacking Black Americans every day, talking about the psyops that she sees in the streets, now she's going against the Zionists. Writing report after report after report, and now I'm starting to see the red pill do the same thing, and there's all these conflicts on Twitter saying that they are eroding at America. The conflicts will continue to become, because compartmentalization of power has to continue to happen. People are having the ability to see the information for themselves, and legacy media can no longer control the narrative. So that means they have to put in emergency brakes to stop all of this. Now, while whites have always been at the center of everything, so when legacy media spins information, they always say Black and white households, and these are the gaps, because they want to keep the division between Black and white, as if these are the only households that exist in America. When the Asian household is the highest grossing income, I did this when I did a breakdown of the wealth standard. And they have a wealth standard of how to save yourself, which I'll be breaking down February 7th as well, 2025 at the Gramercy Theater, 19keys.com. Get your tickets right away. I see you in person. So instead of them saying, wait a minute, they are the ones in the tech field. They are the CEOs of the tech company. They controlling the future and the new innovation. And now we're seeing white Americans complaining about they taking all of the jobs. And Vivek is like, wait a minute now, slow down. This ain't racism. This ain't no DEI. We just smarter than y'all. It's a culture thing. Y'all got to understand. We just better at this thing. And so now there's this back and forth, because I have said it before. I say racism, the distraction. White people think they need to go at Black people. I say Indians the one who running things. I say they got the highest household income. They going into the tech sectors and the fields of innovation. Right? India went from a civilization to one of the biggest countries in the world, and their GDP is continuing to grow. So we haven't really looked at China. We've been looking at China, but India, oh, they the player to make sense, to watch out for them. They the ones who programming all of the things behind the scenes. And now white people are starting to have the same or similar complaints about discrimination, racism, biasness in the workplace, being overseen and overlooked, which is similar to the same things that copper colored people in this country have always voiced and spoken upon ourselves. So it's funny that here we are in 2025, and now white people are complaining about racism. They starting to sound like FBAs. They say the government is out to get them. The FBI is not right. The media is portraying them all wrong. The movies is against them. They pushing agendas against their children. They can't control their education. They can't get the job they want. They're getting overlooked. They starting to sound eerily similar to Black Americans. Conflicts will continue to rise, and maybe Vivek tricked y'all. And then you see a lot of Black people don't realize they're going to be utilized. And now we have the only thing that's out of this thing that you have to understand. See, you can't trust everybody. You have to understand the whole idea about the FBA's Foundation of Black Americans, whatever it may be. Yes, they're necessary, because there needs to be control of the culture. It may be offensive to you. It may be actually offensive. It may be radical. It may be wild. It may be even disrespectful at times. But you have to understand this thing of ours, La Costa Nostra, that we are a people that has never been able to control our own energy and be free. And here we are in 2025 with the ability to not only have these thoughts and these ideas and these complaints in our head, but to be able to voice them on social media. So if you don't have empathy for what we've been going through this entire time, and why you may unwittingly or may innocently be someone who we perceive as an oppressor as well, then we will never get along. Because we're supposed to be overprotective about the little things that we have, mainly our culture. So the thing about it, though, is that, you know, I've been to Africa, I've been to North Africa, I've been to West Africa, I've been to South Africa, and I've had a good time. I enjoyed myself. I was shown love. I learned so much. Every place that I went to, the food was immaculate, right? I felt safe in many of the places that I went to. There was good, there was bad. Africans are not our enemies. These Twitter beefs don't actually turn into real life things, because that's all they are. It's just Twitter beefs at the end of the day. At the end of the day, Black people and Africans have been working together, but some of us have been utilized as a pawn to divide us, because we're giving so many different flags and people are saying, wait a minute. While Black people in America have not been able to gain control of their commerce and their economy yet, because every time that we try to do, we always had somebody to interrupt us. It is not that we are not, and this is something that nobody is, the rest of the groups have not validated. It's not that we don't have the acumen to do it ourselves. We've been doing it. We've been fighting every generation. There's been a leader. There's been a movement. There's been an organization. We've been the biggest social activists. We've been fighting for our mental health. We've been fighting for our liberation. We've been fighting every single generation. It ain't never been a time where we took a day off. We've had more leaders than any of the people over the last 100 years. And I'm talking about real leaders. And even though they take us out every single time, we keep on coming back. We ain't gave up yet. So the benefits that immigrants come to gain in this country, it's because of the struggles and the fight and the blood and the sweat and the tears that we put into it. So when we hear anybody complain about the condition that we may be in, some of our people, it is disrespect and it should be taken as such. And you can't blame those who feel the way that they feel about the experiences that they went through. Because Hollywood does what? Hollywood tries to replace the foundational Black American with an immigrant, because they want to do wage suppression. They don't want to have to pay you what you're worth, so they will pay somebody else. They don't want to have to deal with you. They don't want to put wealth into your family. They don't want to give you reparations. You can't even play your own historical figures in their movies. Something that we fought for historically. So therefore, yes, there's going to be conflict. There's going to continue to be conflict. But the reality of it is, as well, is that we're actually primed and the best to do business with each other. When we learn to speak and respect each other and understand the history that comes from that, because the thing about a conversation is that this. See, I've been preparing and going deep on communication, because I'm writing a book about high level conversations, how to have them, how to create great speakers and better speakers, right? And one thing you learn about communication is when two people are having a conversation, it's never one conversation being had. It's actually multiple conversations in one. And so this is why a lot of times people may be talking to each other, but they're not harmonizing and syncing, because they're not on the same page. Right? And so you can talk to somebody that you know, and sometimes a person need help. Sometimes they want to be heard, right? Sometimes they just want to be felt. But when you are communicating with somebody, you have to make sure, and Twitter is the worst place in the world to communicate, because unless you are prompting that conversation to understand each other's experiences, you're not going to communicate in a way that's tolerant. It's always going to be violent, and it's going to put you on a defensive. So all it's going to do is increase conflict. So what would have to happen is you have conversations offline to harmonize. Then when you have conversations online, you're on the same frequency because you have an understanding of each other. But Blacks and Africans are not going to get along online, because there are so many cultural differences that we're having different conversations when we speak to each other. So it doesn't get to a high level place. We're trying to have conversations about facts, but we don't understand how each other feel. So the facts don't matter. So this generation has to understand that there's not going to come any union, because in communication, there is unification, or unification, if you will. Let's call it communification. That's what we need. We need to communicate for the purpose of unification, but that would require the experience of empathizing with each other before moving forward. Because I don't think that the African is bad. I don't think that the brothers that's talking to each other are bad. I don't think that they even truly have issues with each other. It's just we're having two different conversations. We're having a conversation about the lineage of our struggle, right? And in this land where we fought for, where we want prosperity and ownership over our IP, our intellectual property and our rights in this country. And other people are talking about their opportunities that they want to create coming in this country, but from completely different heritages and experiences. So it's not possible for us to actually have unification. So this is why in our environments, when we speak to each other and we can have high-level conversations, then we understand each other more. Even if we disagree, we can understand each other. So now we're prompting and speaking from the same place, at least, which breeds progress. And it's the same thing. And how do we know this? Because the same problem that we've been having as Black people to try to understand white folks, and white folks to understand us and to have those conversations. If we can't get along with fellow white Americans, right? We have a lot of time to communicate with, but we are having completely different conversations from different vantage points and different experiences. The only time we do is when we prompt it to understand, how do you feel about immigrants? And then the person like, oh, I feel the same way, right? And then we can communicate because we unified on that particular point, but still from different points of experience. So beyond that small little thing that connects us, we're completely ununified on everything else. So we might have a moment of who you think the president should be or shouldn't be, but that's not unity. Y'all don't understand each other still. Y'all not connected. So as we see, the world that we're living in is changing, it's shifting. And as it shifts, worlds collide. Old world collide, new worlds collide. But we don't have a key to each other. Just like you go on a map and there's a map key. And in that map key, right, you can understand what certain symbols and things mean. But we're having these conversations with completely different cultural experiences, so they have to be conflicts. And people are supposed to protect their group thinking and their culture and their family, because the one thing you have to understand about groups is that they have to be centered in family, and that family has to be centered in the standards of that culture to protect them over time, because they're not fighting for space, they're fighting for time on the planet. Historically, we have become very micro in the things that we fight for. We just wanted a little space and a little recognition. a lot of times as African descendants of slaves, or as we called ourselves, African descendants, because there's not even agreement upon that. Whether we are Native Americans, whether some of us arrived here, we can't even agreement on that. So we always having different conversations. This is why high level conversations is important, and I don't argue with people. Because the goal is to align us so we can get to a point of understanding and build. So even if we disagree, we still have an understanding, which allows us to move forward. Now, I've been seeing them going crazy on Beyonce. And I said, why? Well, there's a thing called scapegoating. And scapegoating is psychological defense mechanism where blame is, hold on, I got these glasses on. Where blame is, scapegoating is a psychological defense mechanism where blame is, y'all, I got these glasses, y'all can't tell, but inside these glasses, there's a screen that's supposed to be bringing down my definition. But it ain't working. But anyway, it speaks on the fact where blame is shifted towards public figures like celebrities. Now, y'all know Jay-Z and Beyonce ain't the reason America is messed up. Y'all, listen, I be seeing people, y'all just clickbaiting. Y'all know that ain't the reason America messed up. Y'all, I'm seeing people acting like Beyonce is the problem with America.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
So let me give y'all some cultural context, as I was trying to use my technology and be all cool. You know what I'm saying? But let me give y'all some cultural context to this. I empathize with the psychological operation that's being ran on the people. I get it. But this is what we call celebrity scapegoating. And it's not the first time in history this happened. And it's not going to be the last time, right? But the definition of scapegoating is a psychological defense mechanism where blame is unfairly assigned to an individual or a group for broader society issues. Celebrities are often made scapegoats because they are highly visible and accessible, making them targets for collective frustration compared to the often or distant elites. So let me ask you, there's a reason why they considered the guy who unalived the healthcare so-called hero. You don't really get that close to elites. Who are the ones who run the world? Who are these families? You don't see them. It's easier for you to blame a Beyonce and blame a Jay-Z. It's easy for you to blame a Diddy. They closer. But who finances? They don't come outside. They don't talk to y'all. So this is just scapegoating, which is classic in societies where there's so much frustration against the elite class that you go after who you have the most access to. So you start to look at criticism of a celebrity's lifestyle, and that represents the symbolic decay, but you ignore the systematic inequalities perpetuated by corporations and policymakers. So you can't show me the face of a corporate, a person that runs a pharmaceutical company that you dislike and hate. You don't know their name. You don't have a face to them. You don't know who run the bank that in charge you all them overdraft fees. You don't run who run TD Ameritrade that just got hit with the lawsuit because they was laundering money for the cartel. Oh, we talk about Project 2025, but you don't know the name of the authors. So you go after who's close enough for you to hit. It's cheap. It's cheap. It's scapegoating. That's all it is by definition. And it's considered to be misdirection, which is a deliberate or unconscious diversion of attention. To issues more visible or sensational targets. Beyonce is the most sensational target that you can go after. Her halftime show. I ain't even watched the show. But the more I see somebody hating on somebody, it actually makes me like them. Like, wait a minute now. How Dave Pinoy? How you got an issue with Beyonce? Beyonce don't be bothering nobody. I don't know what Beyonce do. I ain't never met Sister Beyonce. She's in the kitchen cooking the kids the liquid gold, man. That's the last time I heard about her. But they acting like she's the Antichrist. I know she don't run the banks, the corporations. She don't run government. She's not a policymaker. She ain't doing none of those things. So she doesn't have any power like that. Even though what they do is, they say Beyonce is one of the most powerful women in the world. I get the power she does have, the influence she does have, but that's not the reality. That what actually unites Americans is actually who is the real enemy that they believe is the causation of the issues. So what happens is the media or influential groups focus on outrage on celebrities to deflect scrutiny from structural problems that was caused by the elites. That's the way the game goes. So you go see crazy headlines emphasizing celebrity scandals report instead of reporting on economic policies that actually affect you and produce inequalities in your reality. It's a game, y'all. Maybe I shouldn't be breaking all this down, but hey, I got to give it to you, because when I sit back and I see the world, I start smiling. I said, everything is playing out the way I thought it was going to play out. See, when you get confidence of the future, you ain't worrying about the small embers and fires that happen when you know the whole forest is about to catch on fire. That's just the way the winds flow. We're going into a cosmic shift, and the world will continue to do these things. So where have we seen this before? In ancient Rome, during the periods of social and political unrest, and remember, America is the new Rome, emperors often diverted blame to visible figures or groups. Nero famously blamed the Christians for the Great Fire of Rome in AD 64, using them as scapegoats to deflect the attention from his own potential culpability. Misdirection leads to the persecution of Christians and distracted public anger from Nero's governing failure. So think about how the elites, you think they on your side. Man, these people got power and money that you couldn't fathom. They can't relate to a single ounce of your problems. They don't know nothing about what it's like to be poor. They don't know nothing about none of that stuff you're dealing with. So anytime you see one of them relating to your problem, and then they say, yeah, that's the one who did it. That's because they don't want you to look at their hands being dirty. And I look at Twitter, I say, Twitter is the perfect place to do it. Whether it's actually bots that's doing it, or it's actually the elite that's literally on there typing. Because the ones with the most power, you don't see them. You don't see them. So the public is never going after the right person. It's always a witch hunt. It's easy to get mad at a celebrity. They might be wrong. But do they matter? That's the part you got to ask yourself. They might be wrong, but do they matter? Because we'd be more angry at a celebrity. But our children are failing reading and arithmetic. And then our sons and daughters are not becoming who we want them to be because we know more about the world than we know our own household. And there's consistent disappointment all around us. So we would rather blame the elites. We would rather blame them than take self-responsibility, because then that becomes a fabric of moral construct for this country to be built upon again. And when you have that type of moral construct in your own heart, you become harder to control because you operated by true values. Hell yeah, Fat Joe was wrong. I heard the brother Joe Budden say Fat Joe ain't even black. He's contributed, but I lean back. You know what I'm talking about? I lean back, but I ain't worried about Fat. I ain't gonna lie. I ain't worried about that. All of that is clickbait. When you're controlled by someone else and what they say, and they know, and they doing that on purpose, they just give them power over you. Now, if you want to go after people for what they do in a collective manner to showcase an example of your power, just have real intention behind it. Don't actually be angry. Don't actually get angry. To actually get angry makes you a fool. Now, if you want to, you're supposed to be non-emotional about it. You say, listen, all right, we're going to make an example out of them. Send an army against them. Hey, are you mad? No, I'm not mad. I just want everybody else to know we're not letting them get away with this. So let's make this move. All right, I get that. That's called strategy. But when you actually angry, that's just being a fool. Oh, man. In the Nazi Germany in 1933 and 1945, the Nazi regime used scapegoating and misdirection to consolidate power and blame societal issues on specific groups. Systematic scapegoating enabled widespread support for oppressive policies and genocide, diverting attention from these Nazi authoritarianism and the elite's consolidation of power. Consolidation of power is what you should focus on during this time. Consolidation of power is key. I'm a student of history. This is not the first time this has happened. When you study history and you understand where in time you are in history, then you understand what comes next. This is just called a cycle. And America for 2025 about to be on this period. It's just a cycle. McCarthyism in the United States in the 1950s. During the Cold War, fear of communism was amplified to shift focus from domestic issues like racism and inequality. Hollywood actors, writers, and other public figures were accused of communist affiliation, creating a climate of fear and distrust. The outcome was the Red Scares. It led to blacklisting in the entertainment industry and distracted them from systematic inequalities such as segregation and economic disparity. If there's real economic disparity happening, if you're getting replaced by robots, and don't get me wrong, AI and alien immigration is a real thing. But they don't need people to focus on the actual problem. So we have to give you something else to focus on as an enemy. Because while you focus on them, you're not focused on them. You know what I'm talking about? This also happened in apartheid. The apartheid regime blamed prominent black leaders and activists for social unrest rather than addressing systematic race. The key of it is if you're not addressing the root problem, we're addressing the fruit problem. These are just branches of an issue. It's always the root. You got to ask yourself, why are we not going to the root? Why are we not going to the root? Every single time. They don't have to come up with new schemes and things because the people are predictable. The people are predictable. It's funny to see why people realize that East Asians are the highest grossing income in the tech leaders. Because it's like, damn, when we complaining about how we was overlooked for jobs and we talented and we still not getting a fair share and opportunity. Now it seems that they want diversity and inclusion. Hey, you don't want it or you want it. Because when the Indians say, hey, we about to hire Ion. But that was a terrible Indian. We about to hire Ion. I'm going to just stop it because I ain't got it right now. When Indians say we about to hire another Indian, they say, ah, we not doing no diversity, equity, and inclusion, man. We about to hire another Indian. I did good. He going to do good. That's my brother. All of a sudden, it's a problem. I thought we didn't want diversity, equity, and inclusion. So they say, well, are we not about to diversify with white folks? Now they asking for it. You can't get both ways. You can't get both ways. Either you want it or you don't want it. The reality of it is you just want your way. And anything that you're not the center of and you're not getting your way and it's not your privilege, then you won't cry about it and say, I'm the victim. Well, they've been telling black people, get out the victim mentality, but now you the victim. They just wanted you to get out the way. So that's why I said white people, the new black people in America. Defeating a looming threat, which Elon Musk is harping the strings on. Hey, guys, you're not making enough babies. He's pushing that out there. Bill Gates was saying, hey, minute, man, we got too many babies. He in Africa trying to get rid of babies. And Elon over here telling white people they need to have more babies. Well, which one is it? And if Bill Gates is from America and Elon is from Africa, and he's an African immigrant, another AI, and Vivek is an American Indian, another AI, and they both so-called liberals, and they running the government, what has just happened to America? Because Elon Musk, I ain't gonna lie, he's been more vocal than Donald Trump lately. That boy been talking about everything like he about to just go get sworn in. Man, he got that power too. He got that Twitter. He got robots. He got all the satellites. Hey, little dude different. Not gonna lie to you. So I got one final thing because the reality of it is this. There's something also looming. We got quantum computers. There's an energy deficit of necessity in America because as the shift is coming, Americans need to focus on the shift. We got the new currencies versus the old currencies. And the new currencies go be here. Whether you are investing in assets or not, they're coming here. They're going to take your money. They're not going to give you any more money. The robots are so powerful. And a system connected to the robots, meaning that if one robot is updating and improving, then it sends that upload to the other robot to improve as well. It's a perfect shared connected group. And if you look at AI and quantum computing and robotics, this is the worst they'll ever be. So in the next 6 years, right? Of course, let's just give it the next 4 years. By the end of Donald Trump's presidency, it will all be set in order. It will all be set. The stage will be completely set, and it will be too late for you to be like, I'm going to get started. They're They got legislation talking about how they're going to bring in legislation in the next few months after they get into office with this crypto legislation. So people say, well, what the hell can we do? You have to have a culture that saves you. And by culture, first we want to talk about a personal culture that you have. If I study the Asian wealth standard, they focus on family, right? They save money in gold and silver, right? Inside that family, they have a hierarchy of how the man and the woman treat each other, how the father and the wife treat each other, how the father and the daughter treat each other, how the son is treated. There is a hierarchy within that. Asians might complain about how their family wants them to be doctors and engineers, but they don't want to waste their time in America because they understand the necessity of it. They focus on education. And there's a direct correlation between the most educated group who they happen to be and having the highest grossing income because they focus in the sectors of where the world is shifting to. So tech being number one. So now they are the highest paid in America because they went for the most valuable jobs in the new America. So their culture, the way that they are groomed, is their wealth standard. So regardless of what's going on in the world, it's set up to save yourself. So we can talk about what's not. The thing about it is every individual is a piece in this webbing of this network nation that we talk about being a part of. And if you are not a representation of the things that you wish to exist for your own people, then when you ask what we're going to do and it doesn't start with you, then you are a problem in the progress and you need to get the hell out. If you say, I am the ideal model, right, of what we should be like, that you have a value within this system to say, man, I adhere to this culture, morally, values-wise, principles, the way that I live. I am the example. If you're not that, then by asking what we gonna do, that's a waste. You think that this idea of starting with self is not real, but each Asian family, if they don't become a part of that value, they get shamed out of that culture. They're not just allowed to be bums and everybody invites them over and say, it's cool. No, you bring shame to the family. So America start talking about being shameless. Don't fat shame, don't dumb shame, don't shame for nothing. Well, you just became a damn shame. But you still have access. So that's the problem. Because when there's no standard, then there's nothing you have to do to keep membership. But if we say, you know what? Look, man, we accept you as you are, but there's a shift that's gonna have to happen in you because we elevate into this place. Now you can stay part of the low level, but you don't get access at this higher level. And blaming the people that are elites and educated. And one of the things that I see in America that we do so much is people claim to hate rich while trying to become them. How you gonna hate the thing that you become? You're rejecting your ability to transform into that thing in the first place. We hate when somebody becomes rich in the culture, or they got too much money. Well, why you want that much money then? How you want the very thing that you reject? How you don't believe that it's possible? When you go to Japan, they have the Bushido. They go off the samurai's way. They don't go off the weakest. No, if we was to take that same thing, that means that we'll be operating off of code in America. Right? That means that we'll be operating off our most brilliant intellectual and radical minds throughout history and say that's our culture. Not whoever can rap at the moment. That ain't got nothing to do with real culture, because culture is created based on values first. So if there's no values, there's no culture. A devil culture is one that devalues, that robs you of your culture. So you would literally have to start it, right, with all our great ones. So what they did is, and I don't have time to be teaching all this, man. Make sure y'all come to, we will have a good time in person, man. Make sure y'all come to the Save Yourself Tour. 19keys.com/tour. If you're on Instagram, just comment tour, get your ticket tonight, screenshot it, send it over to me. It's going to be a vibe. But if you want to create that culture, there's a way you would have to go about resurrecting the ancestors. There has to be a cosmism in the culture, a cosmic philosophy in the culture. Somebody say it sounds like elitist. You won't be a part of the culture because you're not listening to understand. There has to be some that you consider to be elite in the culture in the first place. Do you not look at those ones who sacrificed and had the, who are the top five philosophers that you believe in? Who are the top five intellectuals that you grab your source material from? You ain't got that, do you? Oh, we ain't got that? Yeah, okay. But if I say, who are your top five rappers? Are you going off? Now, people go say Malcolm. They don't really mean that. If you meant that, right, then you would have more than the anecdotes that you have in your head about Malcolm. You would have more than the book, Autobiography of Malcolm X, or the movie with Denzel Washington, who just got baptized. You would have more in your head than just that. You would know the root of what transformed Malcolm. And you would study those teachings. And then that will transform you. You would know all of the great black men and women who came before. And you would have their knowledge in your head. So what we're going to go through is a cosmic shift of, we all have a responsibility to resurrect our ancestors. See, Yeshua is consistently resurrected because you are evoking his name, you're evoking his pain, his knowledge set. So to resurrect our ancestors, that means that you need to become like them or greater to finish their works. So what we've lost in a lot of our tradition is our veneration for our ancestors. We've lost the respect that we've had. So therefore, we're trying to walk around here with, when you talk about knowledge of self, if you don't know your ancestors, how can you have knowledge of self when you are made of their DNA and who you are in your DNA? It's directly correlated with the genetic information of their experiences and their knowledge. So to honor thy ancestors is to know thyself. So while we have this new age worshiping of celebrities and these new figures, we're not going within and we're not studying and learning so that that ancestral line of knowledge becomes our culture. And this is the biggest breaking that has occurred between generations, is when we lost the ancestral code, because they tell us who we are. Marcus Garvey said, let us manifest our destiny. Let us manifest our destiny. Not them, not AI, not robots, not economists, not presidents. Let us manifest our destiny. Observe the world. Don't be a part of it. Don't get caught up in the scapegoating, the misdirection, the moral panic, the social projection, the divide and conquer strategy, or the parasocial relationships with the celebrity worship. February 7th, we're going to resurrect the ancestors. We'll give you the cosmos and the future's blueprint. Because as the world shifts, we must be confident about where we're going and who we are. And the opportunity that we have right now is it's immense. It's immense. You see these fights going on in social media, step away. Because they're not worth anything and they're distracting you. During this time, you see cryptocurrency is going down. And then you see it go up, and then you're like, oh, I wish I would have got in. But what were you doing in between? They distract you so you don't accumulate any wealth, because their goal is to own the future. So they don't ever want you to participate in that owning of the future. They know what 1 year can do. They know that one focus year in the public, and they have to shift everything. Everybody won't make it. They say, man, damn, if you start doing what we do, then you're going to be one of the new, more powerful people in the world. And then you get to decide things. So we need to keep you distracted. And only those who deserve to control their own destiny are those who are focused enough to gain the power that will put them in a seat of control. Freedom is always earned. It's not given. You may believe, and it is a natural right, but you are free to do what you want to. Nobody is forcing you. Nobody is stopping you. They may be coercing you. They may be influencing you, but you can reject it at any point in time that you want. So why haven't you? Freedom waits for no man. Nobody's going to give it to you. Nobody's going to fight for you. You had to fight for yourself. So the conflicts will continue to rise because we're going into a higher cycle. And in that cycle of the American cosmism, this new America, you look around and you say, who runs America? That doesn't matter as much as who runs you. Then what is your strategy in this world? Because we have, as a Black community, we got about 3. A Mexican community got about 4. White community got about 5. Indian community got about 6 years. Based on the way our wealth is set up. Asset accumulation and new network nations has to be the focus, because what you're trying to do is look at what you're doing now and understand, as we go through the next 3 cycles around the sun, where will you be at over here? That goes to mental, that goes to physical, that goes to everything. It goes to it all. And once you understand that, then we get to some power. So anyway, this is the year of building. The goal is to build some real things. I'm going to be making some announcements, some partnerships that I have, right? I'm always willing to work with people that's real. Those who want to partner with me, you got to bring some skin in the game. We not just starting. You know what I mean? This year is about scaling and flourishing. This is the year of flow for me. Every year I decide what is my personal philosophy and what is the theme of this year that I'm going to carry out. So as I go into that, it gives me the power to control my own destiny. And I want you all to have that insight as well. For all those who are part of the High Level Club, we will be going into 2025 together as a network, as a community, so you will not be going alone. Let them conflict, let them fight while we get our shit together. Let the world distract the rest of them while we get ours together, while we get our freedom. Let them argue about whether Beyonce had a good performance or bad performance, or Jay-Z is guilty or not guilty, while we get ours together, while we save ourselves. Because the world will be ran by those who save themselves, not those who are waiting to be saved. The question becomes is, what is your strategy to save yourself? I'm confident about my future because I have a strategy, not a hope, a prayer, and a wish. Prayers have to be accompanied by strategies. Pray, then do. The praying is not the doing. It is the preparation for you to get something done. Those who want to come a part of the Infinite Wealth Strategies, where you will have access to the community, you will have access to our plays, our Infinite Wealth Strategies. First of all, shout out to the Infinite Wealth Strategies team and everybody who've been accumulating all of the quantum stocks. We ain't gonna have time to talk about all that. Those who are in position for their cryptocurrency, we're gonna be going over DeFi, the airdrops, tokenization, right? Preparing you for the new money matrix so that you are prepared going into this year. We're gonna be focused on some of our physical flourishment, right? And what our physical frequency is going to be. And when I say physical frequency, I'm talking about fitness, right? And the way I say frequency is because you can have goals, but if your frequency does not match that, the universe speaks in frequencies, not goals. They don't care what you say. It cares about what you do, how you feel, how you emanate. So if you're not operating at that point of knowledge and power, if you don't feel at that point of your highest self, then there's nothing else that you can do in this world. You can't feel bad and do good. You can't have fat habits and slim goals. How many of you are ready to build in a community and grow together and match that frequency that you want to live where you are able to transform your future? Comment one. Comment yes, matter of fact. Let's get affirmation. We got 2 minutes. It's almost 1 hour and 19 minutes. So I got to pack this up. In a High Level Club, we've been doing high level conversations for a while. You get behind the scenes. You get unreleased videos, right? You get access to our communication course, which is coming next, where we're teaching you how to become a high level communicator. How you can develop high-level conversations with anybody that you meet. It's going to be real strategies, right, that you can develop over the next 30 days to become a superior communicator. So that is what I'm in deep study now to make sure that as you come in, you can transform because communication is one of the number one skill sets in the world. We already have the crypto groups. We're already giving you updates. You're already getting the signals. You're already setting up your portfolio. You get access to the vault, the wealth standard, the infinite wealth strategies, the book strategies, right? The masculine and feminine development class that's going to be taught, right? As well as live classes going into 2025. As the world changes and shifts from going into debt for a traditional education and having these decentralized sources of education, you have to also still have structure. One of the first things that people learn is learning how to learn, because you have to start somewhere, then go in. So this is Infinite Wealth Strategies 2.0. So make sure you comment wealth if you are on Instagram, right? So that you can get access to it. And if you are on Twitter or YouTube, I say that like I'm from Boston, YouTube, scan that code right there before we get out of here. And I look forward to seeing you all in the group. We have our mental growth calls that you all will be a part of, which is live group calls with myself, giving you mentorship and coaching throughout the year. So that will be the value, so that you're not going at it alone. You're not having these fears, these worries, these doubts, these anxieties. You're able to transform. You're able to sometimes ask questions. You're inside a group. You're not going alone. You're going together, which makes better learners and better executors, a system to help hold you accountable, being around other people who are on that same journey as you, working to maximize and reach that same path. So I look forward to building with you all. I look forward to connecting and networking with you all. And I can't wait to see you all on tour as well. It's going to be very powerful. Those who are amongst us will be able to reach that higher mind so you can think at a high level. None of this is by accident. Once you learn the strategies and the formulas, right, that we're going to be teaching, then you can find yourself evolving. It ain't going to be like last year. It ain't going to be another year you waiting, another year you hoping, another year you looking at everybody else, what they got. I know a lot of y'all had to watch what people was getting in Christmas and like, damn, I want that. Even though I believe that Christmas is such a consumerism holiday and that people should focus on family and Jesus if they go celebrate it. But consumerism rots the brain because it has you focusing on what the Joneses got instead of being grateful, which is how you really build spiritual wealth so that you can live in the present moment, appreciation what you have instead of thinking about what you lack. Because the infinite wealth mind is understanding that there's infinite wealth, meaning that you have a growth mind, but you understand that you need a strategy in order to gain access to that wealth that exists in the world. It is flowing abundance all around us, but we have to become better thinkers, better doers, right? Better communicators, so that we get better results from the universe or the world that is around us. So as this world shifts, we must be in flow so that we don't develop future shock and things are shifting so much and we like, man, I can't handle all this information overload. No, you have to learn to be in flow mode, in that God mode. So comment wealth, make sure you join today. We're going to be adding you to our close friends as well. So you get access behind the scenes with me as we go into 2025 together. Peace. I hope y'all have a beautiful, blessed, and abundant day as well. Enjoy the evening.
Peace family, it's 19 Keys. Thanks for listening to the High Level Audio Experience. Make sure to give 5 stars and subscribe. Also, support the brand and get tickets to our upcoming tour by visiting 19keys.com/links. That's numbers 19keys.com/links. Enjoy this clip and check out the full episode. Peace.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.